Hello, hello. This is Megan from the Night Owl Chicago. Matthew is out of town this week, so I am catching up with our Saturday recording, our audio recording. So we try to do our audio recording every other week, and we do our live streaming once a week, whether it be Friday or Monday or Tuesday, doesn't matter. We always try to bring you guys content once a week, at least for our live streaming. And thank you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in with us and listening to us and being there with us for this crazy year. A lot's happened with us besides the quarantine. And, you know, it's nice to be able to take a break and talk to you guys about life's little issues and, you know, just the craziness and the goodness that we call life. So, thank you guys. The only drawback from this podcast is that we will not be doing our live stream audio anymore. Due to budget cuts, we have to take away the live streaming aspect for audio, which is okay because, you know, it's actually easier for me to be able to just edit the audio as much as I can if I want to. It just doesn't make sense to have our raw version of it and our edited version because some people may not go to Podbean and listen to our raw stuff. And most of you guys listen to us on Anchor or Spotify. So I just want to keep it simple. But we will be doing subscription only on Anchor and Spotify for our audio listeners. So it's 99 cents a month for our membership, which isn't a lot. So we're asking for under $1 a month to listen to us. And I know it sucks, guys. I know that we're in a quarantine, but at the same time, the money that you spend to be a member, you guys get to listen to bloopers, you get to leave voice messages for us, and the money that we make is going back into advertising. It goes back into equipment. And yeah, I mean, I edit everything. I create the music myself, and all of that involves software that I have to pay for monthly. It's not cheap, it's not free, but it's good shit. And it really does help me with my editing process. I not only use it for the podcast, but I also am a musician, so I use it for making music, and I also use it for when I'm editing videos for clients. And so, you know, I am using the software as a tool for my livelihood. And, you know, I'm really blessed. I have a lot of good projects coming up soon. And like I said, I don't like to talk about what I'm doing because I always like to keep it just for me only, because I feel like that's what the universe wants and that's what I want. I just feel like keeping things close to me, whoever I'm collaborating with, you know, behind the scenes, it just makes me feel better because it makes me feel like it's special. So I'm not one to brag about what I do and what I'm doing. I feel very blessed about what I can do and what my skill set is. But let me know, you guys, like, email us, you know, email us what your dreams are, email us what your goals are for 2022. I mean, it's not too hard. It's not too far-fetched to think about that now. I mean, it's almost the end of the year, and why not? Why not think about it? I think it's always good to have at least a one-year goal. That should be the longest, you know, realistic amount of time that you can have, unless you are already running a business or you're running, you know, a small craft or skill set, you've acquired a skill set. I think that a yearly goal is good. And also think about it, like, in a year, when you achieve that goal, then you can go to the next goal and go to the next goal. So for me, short-term goals are good because they add up, and then you have this big long-term goal that you've accomplished because of all the short steps that you've taken, small steps. So hello, you guys. If you are new, I am Megan, and my co-host, Matthew, is out of town, but he is also a co-host of the Night Owl Chicago. We are an all-inclusive podcast that talks about music, art, and life, and everything in between. And he'd probably chime in right at that point with me. It is weird doing it by myself. We usually don't do this like this. We don't usually do it like this. And he absolutely refuses to do it alone. I think he's pretty good. I think he'd be pretty good at doing some of these things by himself. But if you were listening to it and he's not in it, I apologize. But I try to do it tonight, and he's got work. So I wanted to talk to you guys about an issue regarding BLM and racial issues, I guess. And I notice on our analytics, on our YouTube, when we do our live streaming, and when we do our live streaming, that people really like to hear us talk about BLM, LGBTQAI, and like politics. I mean, I don't really like to talk about politics so much because it's so depressing all the time. And it's just like every time I watch or hear about an issue regarding politicians, I just roll my eyes and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. So I don't try to talk about politics too much, but BLM, LGBTQ, I am both of those. That's my wheelhouse. And I feel like there's still unsung heroes involving BLM issues and LGBTQ issues. So I've noticed on our analytics on YouTube that we have more views on those topics because people just want to hear about it better, the good, bad, and the ugly, right? So this topic I thought was kind of interesting because it really does resonate with me as a person of color and, you know, going to college. Unfortunately, I only went for a year because my GPA just kind of suffered. I had about a 2.5. It wasn't great. By the end of October, I had mono. I mean, it was bad. I partied too much. I wasn't a sport. I did have good friends around me, but I just partied too much. I skipped school sometimes, you know, just to nurse a hangover. And if I wasn't in cross country, I probably would have been worse. It probably would have been way worse for me. But I don't regret it. I mean, I had some good times in college, and I did experience a college experience. I actually went to that college a few weeks before I started because I was, what you would say, I had a learning disability. But I went to that college beforehand, and I learned, the curriculum, and I kind of had a head start, I guess. And not because I was black or mixed or anything. There were white kids there. There were Hispanic kids or Asian kids. But it's just about the learning disability. Like, there were kids there that had dyslexia. There were kids that had bipolar. There were kids that... We were all just, like, riding the short bus, basically. And we had an advantage to be there earlier, right? And it was nice. It was nice to be able to be there. And it also, like... I had an advantage on the campus, knowing the campus really well too, knowing where all the buildings were and everything. So that was an advantage. But this article talks more about the safety of black students, right, on campus. And I actually, you know, talked to a friend about this recently. This article came out on the 20th, and today's the 26th. So I talked to them about this, and I said, you know what? There's only been about maybe two or three times that I've walked to a party from campus. And at night, not in the middle of the night, but, you know, I mean, right now, look out your window. If it's 6 o'clock right now and you're listening to us, listening to me, it's dark out. It's dark, right? It gets dark at 6 o'clock. The sun goes down at 6 o'clock. In Illinois, at least, or in the Midwest, most states, you know, Wisconsin, Midwest areas, Michigan, probably North Dakota, a lot of those states that are up north or in the Midwest, we get dark real fast, right? And I'm sure the East Coast, because they're ahead of us. So anytime in the fall, at least starting the last few weeks of September, first few weeks of October, it gets fucking dark. So I remember a handful of times of walking to a party, or, you know, I had friends that were seniors, so they lived off campus. And I never had any inkling that I was going to be hurt or assaulted or anything like that. It could have just been luck, and I don't believe in luck, but it could have just been, it was probably just sheer luck. Especially walking around at night, and then you reach the areas where there's no telephone or no nothing around, you know, you're not on campus anymore. And I've been fine. And then I would usually just walk home with a friend, or I'd get a ride, or, you know, designated driver. And then when I got a little bit wiser, there were times where, you know, hey, I could make a little extra money. I became the designated driver. I mean, we weren't driving cars. We were driving like these, they were kind of like these golf carts, but they had, you know, windows. Like they were like, they're kind of like in between a Jeep and like a golf cart. That was kind of how they were. And yeah, so we would drive those around. We'd pick up people from parties, and then we'd drive them back to the dorm. And I've seen some shit. I've seen some shit where I was like, this girl is definitely not with these guys kind of thing. You know, and these were all a lot of these kids were white kids. Now, disregarding the fact that they were white, it's still dangerous out there if you're female. Right, if you're on campus and you're alone or your friends leave you. So this is regarding black students, particularly in college campuses. And this man, James Samuel Jr. and his wife, developed this app called the Angel Tech app. And it's A-N-J-E-L. So I'm going to read this to you guys, and you guys can kind of listen along and maybe write some notes down and be sure to talk about this, you know. I think this is a very interesting article. It's by the WashingtonChronicle.com. So WSChronicle.com. An app that can help track racial incidents and missing black people could help parents and community members feel comfortable asking campus security, local police, and administration a critical question. How will safety become more equitable on our campuses this year? An app such as Angel Tech, which has live stream video and location sharing capabilities, could be the answer. Developed by James Samuel Jr., a black veteran who wanted to minimize and prevent personal and community security issues, Angel Tech sends information to loved ones in real time, efficiently and discreetly. The app has the potential to decrease the number of dangerous incidents young black people often face and give their families peace of mind.
As racial injustice continues across the country, HBCUs are experiencing an increase in student enrollment, considering students are becoming more intentional about feeling safe and understood. Unfortunately, students heading to college or back from the summer break have to contend with an ugly American truth. Safety is not equitable on campus. A new study published by Southern Methodist University's Dominique Baker and UC Berkeley's Talani Britton recently showed that enrollment of black first-time college students climbed at HBCUs in states where hate crime reports increased. Many of the students of the neighborhoods where HBCUs are located are being subjected to gentrification, where middle-class and affluent residents, along with new businesses and luxury properties, are moving in and displacing low-income locals. Atlanta has been cited as the most gentrifying city in the state, in the country, and houses four prestigious HBCUs: Spelman College, Clark Atlanta University, Morehouse College, and Morehouse College of Medicine. Students are at risk of facing more personal security issues off campus on their way to activities or class, including instances of police brutality and even clashes with new residents. As recently as 2019, Howard University students faced issues with individuals walking their dogs on campus without picking up after them. Living in gentrified neighborhoods can also prove to be costly for students, and students face complaints from neighbors due to their presence, as reported by The Undefeated. Along with the challenges on campus, young Black Americans are also going missing at alarming rates around the country. And with most recent cases of Jelani Day and Daniel Robinson coming from the forefront due to the lack of coverage and law enforcement assistance. Unfortunately, many of these cases do not have happy endings. Young people deserve to be safe, whether going to class or going to the grocery store. Hate crimes and these off-campus challenges should be addressed both systematically and through community efforts to make sure each young college student walking into campus this school year feels safe, regardless if they are attending an HBCU or not. Parents have a unique role in student safety. Every parent should remind their student of 3 safety tips. Now, before I talk about the tips, I wanted to mention again, I had no issue going off campus, but there were times where I would go to parties or I would go to events and I would be looked at weirdly or I would be treated a little differently because of my skin color. So I did go to a mainly white school, and it was because, you know, that was just happened to be the school that I was enrolled in because of my degree, the degree I wanted to be in, and because of the running career that I was in. But I never felt like I was being targeted. I just felt like I was being treated differently. And, you know, I'm thankful for the fact that I, you know, my college, the year that I was in college, I don't regret any of my memories I made. I don't regret failing and not, you know, finishing school. I don't regret any of it because I did it. And it's better than just not knowing. And that's such a privileged way of thinking, because I never once thought I was going to be, like, in danger because of my skin color. Now, I did go to school in Wisconsin, which Wisconsin is not that nice with, you know, they're pretty racist up there. But Atlanta's gentrified as hell. I mean, I've been up by Atlanta. I've driven through that area, and it's very gentrified. There's a lot of separation with, even just with the neighborhoods, you know, not even just with campuses and schools, but with the neighborhoods in general. And also, I think that there is that systematic corruption. There's corruption within the black children, starting from, I would say, middle school on to college, because when they do something wrong or when something happens or they're struggling, they're treated like criminals right away. They're not helped. They're not given help. And sometimes their mothers work full time. Sometimes their families work to help provide for those kids, even if they don't make as much money. And I know it's not. I'm not saying that there aren't black women and men that have good jobs and can provide for their family. I'm not saying that. But for the students that do have families that are poor or that are lower income, and they're in trouble, and maybe they're late to work, or I mean they're late to school because their parents work, and they have to get them to school, or the, you know, or they're latchkey kids, they have to kind of take care of themselves. They get reprimanded. They don't get help. And most of that is the case. And what happens? They go to detention, or they go to juvenile court, or they go to, you know, it's basically saying that if you mess up, you're going to jail. You get punished because you're black. And that's fucked up. So it makes every single black student in college and in high school look like a threat, look like they're up to no good. And they're attacked, and for no reason sometimes. Even if they did do something wrong, they are attacked because of their skin color. They are attacked because people are taught that they are the enemy, that they are bad. And it's fucked up. It's very fucked up. And they should not have to be living in fear just to go to the grocery store, go to school. You know, they want to get an education. They want to be there to change the world. And they're having to worry about getting attacked. And that's really fucked up. So it says the parents have a unique role in student safety. Every parent should remind their student of 3 safety tips. Number 1, make a safety plan. Have conversations about the potential types of issues they might experience on and off campus, discussing what to do if the student feels unsafe. Ensure that they understand the community safety resources available to them and when to leverage each. Number 2, The power of video. This year, the world saw the power of video to capture the unbiased record of events necessary to bring about accountability and administer justice in the murder of George Floyd by Derek Chauvin. Recording and live streaming video when a student feels unsafe is an essential way to both scare off offenders and to increase the potential for accountability. An app such as Angel Tech, which we talked about earlier, which turns any smartphone into a body cam, would be useful to such situations. And I'm wondering too, I think I will actually go into this and look this up. I'm going to see. I won't be able to show you because obviously this is an audio recording, but I'm going to go to this website and I'm going to see how it works, and I can walk you guys through it. But I will include the link in the description of this podcast so you guys can check it out for yourselves. Number three, the importance of sharing location. Saying to a child, quote, text me when you get there, is an outdated behavior. I always say it to all my friends. I mean, every time, especially since I'm a night owl and I go out at night, or I hang out with my girlfriends or my friends in general, right? I always say, text me when you get there, text me when you get home, let me know you're safe. Because you just have to, dude. You have to. I mean, it sounds weird maybe if it's something that you don't normally say, but texting when you get there can save someone. And if they follow through and they do it, then you know, okay, they love me, they care, I'm going to let them know. I've only forgotten a handful of times with my mom and she would like freak out. Like she would like, oh no, are you okay? But if they don't text you, then that's okay for you to be a little concerned. Because if that's like something that you do normally with them and with your friends and they don't text you back, that's saying that something happened, right? Or they just forgot, hopefully. Leverage technology to share real-time locations with family and friends. Someone should always know where the student is so they can be there to help or call for help if the student is in danger. You know, what I also do too is, you know, take advantage if you're on Uber. Use that safety thing in there too. The safety shield that I used to use that before Uber did. And if you felt unsafe in a car or with somebody you didn't know, you could press that. You could press down on it for 2 seconds, and then there'd be a satellite would like have your location. So every time you'd go like by a or cell tower, it could ping where you are, so the cops would just know where you are. And then you could text also. You could also text, and you could also, you know, I think there's also a way for you to call and they can hear you. But yeah, I mean, this is a really great idea, this Angel Tech. I really think it's a great idea to have this for people of color, for students of color to feel safe. Okay, so we're going to this website. It's called angel.tech, angel.tech. That's the website. And it also has an option. It says you could download it on your Google Play or Apple Store, your family's personal security system, preserve your life, have liberty, and pursue happiness. So I'm going to the main button here. It says plans, about, in the news, set up, contact us, register, login, terms and conditions. So let's see about setup. Let's see what happens. Set up videos and instructions. So they have videos for knowing how to set it up in your phone.
Okay, guys, I'm going to tell you how to set up your Angel app. It's super easy, super fast. When you're either in the App Store or in the Google Play Store, you're going to download the app. When you download it, you're going to have to then register. So you'll come to this screen. Once you've opened the app, on the bottom right-hand corner, click on Register Now. When you do that, you're going to put in your name, your phone number, email, and password. Confirm that. Click OK for the privacy and terms of use. You can read them at the links there. Then you click Register. Super easy. Then you're going to get a one-time password. It will be sent to your email. You'll click OK. You'll get that password. You'll put it in here. Those four numbers will go in. You'll click verify. Once you verify, you'll come back, and then you'll log in with your now verified email and password. Super easy, guys. Then once you've logged in, you can set up your account, right? First thing you got to do is set up your plan. There's several plans to choose from here. The one that fits your family the best, you'll pick that one. Several with free trials associated with them, 30-day free trials. So check those out as well. Once you have that, you're going to set up your streamers and your viewers. First, the streamers, right? Put in their name and their email and their phone number. Click add streamer. You'll do that. You'll get those guys set up so they can create Angel videos too under your account. Then you're going to click on viewers back on your My Account page. You'll get them set up. These are the people that are going to watch your Angel streams, okay? Your friends and family, loved ones. You'll click on when you want them to get these links and you'll hit add viewer. And then once you've got them set up, that's pretty much it. You go to the bottom, you click on camera, and then it'll say they would like access to your microphone so it can record the audio. You'll click okay. Same with the camera for the video. You'll click OK, as well as the location service. And that's it, guys. You're all done. Super easy. Then you'll start streaming by clicking to the right on start stream or record video to the left.
Yeah, so that seems pretty straightforward. Obviously, I had you guys listen to a video. So there is a video that shows you how to do it. That beautiful voice that you heard was, I think it was Samuel himself. And yeah, I mean, I think that this was really a great idea. I mean, and then they have different plans. It looks like they have different plans that you can do for per month, I think, that you can pay. And which is good. And I'm wondering if the money that you pay that they're making goes towards any charities. I'm sure it does. Which would be kind of cool. I mean, I'm hoping that this, it's not cheap to make an app, guys. It's really not cheap. It says $4.99 individual plan. Oh, I see. So it's by the person. So if it's individual person, it's $4.99. Two person, it's $6.99. Three person, $8.99. Family plan, $9.99. Five person plan, $10.99. Six person plan. So it just keeps going up. It goes up to nine people, and I think nine people is $18.99, which is great. So, I mean, that's a lot of people you could have. And I think, and also, depending on how many people you have, you can have, it says 10 viewers, you can have different viewers and stuff, which I think is kind of cool. So you get like 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. So depending on the plan you have. So I think you guys should check this out. I'm going to contact them myself. And I'm probably going to try it out and see how it works. If I see something, say something. It's not just for college kids. I think this would be great for just in general. If you see something, say something. Use the Angel Tech app. And, you know, I'm gonna check them out. I think they're really great to have. It's a new wave. It's a new future. You know, everybody's been filming discrepancies, fights, arguments. You know, you've seen a lot of those public freakout videos, even when they're funny, sometimes they could help in a person. They can help in a courtroom. They can help in small claims court, big claims court. So millennials, the newer millennials, that's what they've been doing, is filming things and documenting things. And you never know. I mean, you could be taking a photo of your friends and there could be a murder going on behind them. You don't know. So it sounds dark and grisly, I know, but like, filming and documenting things that you think are unjust can save someone. And yes, I think George Floyd did get justice that day because of that young girl filming the entire thing. So I want to close with you guys. I want to close with saying that, you know, I love you guys so much, and I want you guys to stay happy and stay healthy, and please, please wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan. And this is the Night Owl Chicago. Love you so much.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby girl. What? Beanie, you want a treat?
No. 1, 2, 3, go.